We're in a season of great outpouring of the Spirit. The day spring from on high is visiting us through the tender mercies of our God. Draw near with an open heart to receive the blessings of our God. Be revived.
Welcome to Family Life Summit 2025. Amen. All right, so very quickly, we'll be moving on to our reviews. We have, you know, we have 5 seats here, but only 4 are hot seats. Amen. So we are going to be having 2 couples come to review messages one after the other. For the first set of review, we are reviewing Tapping into God's Financial Resources in the Home for Kingdom Life. And for this review, we'll be having Brother and Sister Ogundipe and Brother and Sister Kuti. Hallelujah. Let's appreciate them as they come. It's not easy for man and wife to come out and review. You can be sure that they would have done their reviews together. You know. Hallelujah. Please, let's appreciate them as they are coming forward. Amen. Bro Kuti is here with a full scalp. I mean, hallelujah. Please sit down. Amen. You're welcome. Hallelujah. Okay, so the message was 4 hours, 39 minutes. Very long, okay? But, amen. So it was very long, but if you listen to the message, you would realize that the Lord did a lot of work within a short time. That 5 hours was really short, but so much was congealed. And we trust that the grace of God is sufficient for these couples to review 5 hours in less than 30 minutes. The Lord is your strength, sir. I can see the mic is with you. It's okay. The Lord has fallen on you. No problem. So we have 10 minutes to speak and then 5 minutes to summarize. So each person has 15 minutes to speak. So please use your time very, very well. Amen. So once the 5 minutes has come for you to summarize, I will notify you so you can proceed. The Lord bless you. Go ahead. Hallelujah.
Good evening, church. I want to thank Daddy and Mommy for their labor over us. And also to all the associate pastors. Okay, we will be reviewing Tapping into God's Financial Resources. I know Daddy started by telling us about apostolic doctrine, which lays the foundation for our relationship both vertically and horizontally. That means it lays the foundation on how to relate with people and God, and it's also the wisdom of God's life being communicated to the church. And also this wisdom is required in managing our resources. Now, so many believers have a lot of many misconceptions about finances, and many people are clueless when it comes to the area of finances. So I want to highlight some few points based on what Daddy said. Now, Daddy said something. He said, prosperity of our soul is the template for blessing. Now, when we say template, that means it's the platform. So that means our soul is being more saved, it will always attract God's resources into our hands. Then Daddy also talked about alignment. Okay, Daddy talked about alignment. He said, alignment is when you are conscious of God's purpose and plan for you. That means you know what God is saying at the season. So that means these alignments can actually result in God not blessing us in our finances. Then Daddy also talked about faith, and he said faith is the template for God's financial resources. And that simply means what? When we say faith is the template, that means you are putting all your trust and all your hope on God, that yes, God, you are the only one that can help me, that can sustain me when it comes to the area of my finances. Then also, that you also talk about our heart posture. Now, that posture refers to the state of our heart. Now, what is the state of our heart? Now, if God, what is the motive for having God's resources in our hands? Is it to satisfy our own selfish desire or to propagate God's kingdom? Now, there's a chapter in the Bible, I want to relate it to that. According to the rich fool said, my soul eat and be merry. And God said, see this rich fool, this night your soul will be required from you. So the same thing goes to us as believers. What is our motive for God's blessing? Is it to start to gratify our own desire to have more or to propagate God's kingdom? Then also, Daddy also talked about. Then another thing is that if you want God to bless you, when you are not involved in God's project, God can never bless you. Now, in the book of Haggai, I think Haggai chapter 2, when God sent the prophet to the people of Haggai that they stopped, that they were no longer involved in God's project, and God stopped blessing them. So the same thing goes to us as believers. So once we are not involved in God's project, God can never bless us. Okay, then I want to talk about principles of giving. Now, the first one that he said, areas of giving, he said the first one is the first fruit of your increase. And the first fruit of our increase, according to what Daddy said, is that that first fruit is meant for God. And the purpose of that first fruit is that for you to secure that word, the increment. And although so many of us, we have a lot of misconceptions about the first fruit. Then Daddy also said something. I remember that. Daddy said, what is your band? So band simply represents storage. I remember what we in our Greek, when we were in secondary school, then that band simply means for storage. So that means as a believer, if you want God to increase you, do you have anything to fall back on? So band simply represents business, investments, savings. Many a times we pay our tithes regularly, but there's nothing for God to bless. And at times we have this mindset that maybe God is wicked, God is not being faithful to us. But truly, truly, we don't have anything to fall back on. We only depend on salary. Permit me to use that word. So many of us, we don't have business, investment, or savings to fall back on. And that actually really affected most believers, thinking that God is wicked, that they can only depend on salary job. Then I was able to come up with this salary job is from a concept called salarium. Based on my research, that it was a money paid to the Roman soldiers for salt. That salt then is a very scarce commodity, and that money is paid monthly by the Roman soldiers, and that was how the concept of salary came from, salarium. So then also another principle is that our offering should be bountiful. Then our offering also, it also shows the state of our heart. Daddy said something that we should not give ill-favored offering. So our offering also shows the state of our heart. Then also, sacrificial giving. Now, when it comes to sacrificial giving, Daddy said something that we should allow God to lead us. Now, in the Bible, is it maybe First King or Second King? The widow of Zarephath, when Elijah went to the woman and Elijah told the woman, God said, do this, and the woman obeyed. That means the woman did not even complain. Elijah told the woman, said, okay, I know there's famine in the land. Go inside and bring the last one. The woman brought the food, and God blessed the woman. Now, one other thing I remember about this woman is that to some extent, God breathed on her finance. Why? Because she was able to obey God to some certain level. And I remember God said, Pastor Daddy said something that, when we are able to cut covenant with God, we are able to obey God to some level that God's breath will be on our finances. Then also, getting to the less privileged. Yes, we are the less privileged in society. Those of you that we are better, maybe those of you that cannot afford the daily necessities of life, we should also help them. Then giving to our pastors, those who minister to us, we should bless them. Then also to our parents in cash and kind. Then Daddy said something on on the fivefold command, that's in Genesis chapter 1. The first one, Daddy said, fruitfulness. Now, fruitfulness is from the Hebrew word para. It's from the Hebrew word para, meaning to bear fruit, to grow, to increase, and be productive. So that means God wants us to be fruitful. God wants us to be productive. God doesn't want us to remain at the same spot, and even as a family. God wants us to be productive. Then also the second command is multiply, from the word multiplication. Now, multiply is from the Hebrew word rabba, which means to be enlarged, to increase, and to grow. So that means, as a believer, God wants us to be enlarged. Then the third command, I'm so sorry, I just have to summarize. Then replenish. So what does it mean to replenish? The third one, replenish, is from the Hebrew word male, which means to fill, to accomplish. According to that Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, which means God wants us to be fulfilled in our career, in our businesses. That means, and part of that fulfillment is maybe going for higher qualifications, not being static in our businesses, in our career, and in our professions. Then the fourth one, subdue. And what subdue comes from the Hebrew word kabash. And it means to bring under control, to conquer. So that means, I remember Daddy said something about that subdue. He said, we should grow above economic downturn. We all know there's economic inflation in the country. And many people are complaining. So many people are really defining their life based on the economic situation. Now, in the book of Genesis, according to Isaac, the Bible says Isaac sowed in the world, in the same land, and he was able to reap what bountifully. So that means we should not define our life. We should grow above that limitation. Then the fifth command is to have dominion. And dominion comes from the Hebrew word, rather, which means to rule, to reign, and to what? To govern. So that means God also wants us to rule, to reign, and to govern. Then ethics of brotherhood. I know that he said something on ethics of brotherhood, which means principles guiding our relationship with our brethren. So that means, and one of those principles is that we must have mutual respect for them. We must be compassionate. We must be considerate. Then Daddy also said something about treating our brethren's property like our own what property. Then he also said something that maybe for this time you borrow something from a brethren and maybe we're not able to repay at that particular, at that stipulated time, that you must be accountable by telling the brethren, okay, the reason why you are not able to pay at that point in time. Then, okay, so in conclusion, I have to round up. So that means God really, now about the salvation of our soul. I know that he really emphasized more on that, that the salvation of our soul is the template. That means as we are being more saved, as we are getting more saved in our soul, that means we are really what? Acquiring more stature. And once we have that stature, we'll be able to stand. So money will not have control over our life. Thank you.
Amen. Okay, Brokuti, your wife did a very good forerunner job. I can see your note is equally full. Please carry us on to the next level.
Praise the Lord. Okay, I greet everyone, Daddy Nastepsia, Mommy, good evening, ma. And I greet all the outside pastors. Thank you for your labor over us. Okay, I just want to continue from where she stopped. I want us to look into the limitation of our finance. In fact, if I wouldn't have. It's as if she has even said everything that I wanted to say, except anything. And she even told me that she doesn't even know what to say. Not knowing that she has something to say. Okay. Okay, that is said, limitation of our finance is not spiritual dealing. You know, some of us, when we don't place our motive right, as in behind God increasing us financially, And we actually give room for the devil to have a loophole. There is a way that we easily say that, I'm going through dealings. And whereas it's not dealing. It's just like you are the one that actually give the enemy a loophole. So that it says, it says prosperity is not based on how much you have in your account. It's not based on the naira you have in your bank account. It's from the concept of let's check 3 John chapter 2, please. Say, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospereth. So prosperity is something that begins from within. It begins from within. And when Daddy was ministering, he kept on emphasizing on our growth. And it made us to see that growth is that template by which God actually blesses us. Why did I say so? Is that God will not commit to us what we don't have capacity to handle. If we should ask all of many of us now, we want to abound. Maybe imagine your bank account. You want a particular lot to come in, and perhaps maybe the stipends you are receiving in your place of work is only to write to me about, and you're looking for something bounty, and you have not actually spending time on your growth. So the first template where prosperity begins is something of the inside. Say, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be good as your soul. So the target is my soul prospering? Am I prospering inside? Before God could, we need growth. Let me put it this way. That we need growth to be able to undo certain things. God is a loving God. I can't imagine myself giving a car key to my son. My son is just 7 years old. Imagine giving me a car key. He doesn't know what it takes to do a car key. Meaning that he doesn't have the capacity. I don't know if I'm saying something, please. So God is so much interested in we growing. It's what is happening in our inside. And that is why our motive to behind God prospering us, behind God bringing us into a place of blessing us even financially. For example, I know that God cannot commit us to certain things. He's a loving father. Okay, let me just read. He said, prosperity is not based on how much you have in your bank account, but how rich you are in loving God, passionate about ascending God. Prosperity is from the inside. Praise the Lord. It is a thing of mindset. The same way, poverty too is a mindset. That is said that God desired that we prosper financially as couples and as household and also be in good health. The prosperity of our soul is a template for blessing. It is the conduit for blessing. She was making mention of salvation of the soul. That is the very message. Now, that seminar that Daddy took is centralized under our soul being saved. It's not that Daddy is just giving us, there's a way, financial tips, this or that. The major thing is our soul being saved. It's as your soul prospereth. So our growth is very, very important. Praise the Lord. Say, as my soul is being saved, God also grant me wisdom. Now, when we talk about salvation of the soul is something that is very, very holistic. If you are not careful, there is a way religious spirits can make us that God is not interested by your finances. It's about money. And that is why, if we don't centralize on saving our soul, on salvation of the soul, that is why the way money is being put is that we are not supposed to be the one worshiping money. No wonder Jesus Christ says that you cannot serve both God and what? Mammon. Mammon is a spirit behind money. So we need stature. Stature is very, very important. And that stature is something that comes from within. That's why I kept on saying growth the other time. It's something of the within. That you wrote here, he said, God also grant us wisdom. As I said, salvation of the soul is holistic, meaning that the same wisdom at work that God will use to save my soul is the same wisdom that God wants me to explore to in bringing me into financial, should I use the word financial breakthrough or whatever, in bringing me into this, that state whereby I can be abound financially or prosper financially. So it is something that has to come from within. Praise God. Okay, she has made mention of this, the fivefold kingdom. I don't want to go back to what she has been able to say. Okay, let's look at the fundamental principles of kingdom finance. The God desires that we prosper holistically, spiritually first, our soul being dealt with incorruptible riches. If not, we will have the finances of a fool. No matter how rich you are, you will have money, but your soul will be lean. What is that leanness? It means that when God check us inside, we are empty. And being poor is not a matter of I have money in my bank account or I don't have. Being poor is a state of the is something that is from within. No wonder there is this place in the book of Luke that Bible talk about someone being rich towards God. What makes us rich towards God? It's not the money or your asset, physical asset that you have. It's your state of the soul. Okay, so you see that lay up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. What can make a man to be rich towards God? It's not what you have in natural. Okay, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, but then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So you see that lay up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Imagine a man being rich towards God. It's not money that makes a man rich towards God. God is in charge of finance. God has a way of bringing finance for us. But the first thing is the template, the mindset at which we are coming to God. The many of us, even when God is blessing us financially, there is a way we also turn our back to God. I don't know if I'm saying something to you, Russell. We can see this in book of Haggai. You know, they were building their own houses and they were not building the house of God. And I ask myself, who gave them that resources at which they are building? Was it not the same God? No matter of us, we come to God. God, you know, God give you it can just be something of small. And there's a way you just turn. You have forgotten that which God allows you to have is for a place whereby you come to the place where, it's something that's supposed to be used for a template of worship. Imagine if God asks you to bring that thing back to him, just like a test that Abraham received. You know, truly Abraham was looking for a child, and God gave him Isaac. At the end of the day, God asked him to sacrifice the same son. Can we come to that template by which God has blessed you, and God is now asking for that which he has given, even the natural? That is where laying down of our life comes in. Meaning that when God is giving you, he's blessing us financially, it's not that we should place that which God has given to us as a thing we should be worshiping. I don't know if I'm saying something, please. So that is said, spiritually for us, our soul being dead within corrupted riches. If not, we will have the finance of a fool. For your soul, if it is only money you have, you are so empty. First of all, we should be rich in incorruptible riches, in fruit of the Spirit, in life, in revelation, in a way that is captivated by doctrine. You are captivated by Jesus Christ. You are rich. Your rich is as a result of obedience to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Doctrine is holistic. Riches. Okay, let me just. Okay, don't take advantage. Okay, let me just talk about the area of brethren. As I said, don't take advantage of brethren life for selfish gain. See your brother thing as your own. If your brother give us something to use it well. Now, there is a place of horizontal relationship and also a place of vertical our relationship, like you mentioned of the other time, that the doctrine is holistic. First, it deals with our commitment to God and our commitment to one another as brethren. If you are not careful, no, in the house now, there is most of my emphasis on brethren life, brethren coming together, living household. Now, if you are not careful, there is a way we can also make that avenue for our selfish gain. Are we together, please?
Yes,
say, don't treat, for example, maybe you are being allowed to stay in a particular house with couples. Don't see that house as your own. Praise the Lord. As I said, don't treat your rented house as if it is not your own. Manage it well. If you are living with brethren, the owner of the house should not be complaining. Use their things well. Take care of the house as your responsibility. Don't say it doesn't concern me. Thank God, I'm not the one paying for the rent. But you are living in the house. Something happened in my house sometimes ago. My landlord is not living with us. But there is a way I used to see that house. I've not built one. I've only rented it. But there is a way I see it. I don't see it as, thank God my landlord is not around. Let me just do it anyhow. As I said, I could even confront my neighbor that we cannot be using this property like this. And what motivated, what I just see myself that if I've been the one that owned this, is this the way I'm going to be using the house? To understand that the landlord is not around, I will put myself in that responsibility of, okay, there is a landlord association meeting. Let's just, Holy Spirit now told me that. Do you know that as you are attending a landlord association meeting, do you know that you too, you are going to build your house one day? So why am I saying this is that when you are privileged when God give you, you know, wherever place you find yourself, maybe you are renting the house, you are living with someone, see it as your responsibility to take care of that property. The Lord help us in Jesus' name. So one of the principles of blessing is management. Managing what God has given you. Use your house well. Daughter should make us use house well. Don't use house anyhow. Praise the Lord. So use doctrine sense to use house. All management is part of doctrine life. Now, all these are under the fundamental principles of kingdom finance. I also talk about our health. So physically, in the health of our minds and bodies, we need our minds to be healthy. God wants us to be whole in our body. Our God is the loving Father. He wants us to be whole in our body. He wants us to do well financially. He wants us to even do well materially. Finances, family economy, business, and career. That also makes mention of kingdom disciples and families having assurance in taking care of need based on kingdom supply. It means that our supply is not from anywhere but from God. Are we together, please? We don't pursue money but kingdom. Perhaps they seek you first in the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things that the Gentiles seek after. So it means that when you have a Gentile soul, you're going to have a wrong mindset toward finance. Okay, it is responsible of the king to take care of the citizen. God wants us to be mindful of this kingdom first. And that is where the place of growth comes in. The place of we come to the point whereby we are conforming to the image of the Son. Praise the Lord. Sorry, my thought is scattered. I just try to. Okay, it is responsibility of the king to take care of the cities. We must try and plan our life. Trying to plan your life outside the provision of the king is an insult. It means that our life should be patterned according to God's provision. Praise God. God sees this as his own responsibility. It means that before even going to God, God needs that. He knows he needs that I must do well when it comes to finance. Now, why must I do well? Because I must, if I don't do it financially, it means that there is a way I can also give for the enemy to come in. Okay, for example, in the house now, note, we have been talking about Baba's land. I remember there was a study that said something that we must, all everyone of us, you must make sure you sow into Baba's land. It's just a template for every one of us to be blessed. Are we together, please? And that reminds me that land is our land, whether we like it or not. Are we together? God gave us that land, and God will also. You know that your giving to Baba's land can be an avenue by which God will also make you also have banto for you to have your own house. You know, in the book of Haggai, they left the house of God, and they were building their own. Why am I saying this? The resources that God is committing to your hands is not for yourself. It's for His kingdom. And when we are being faithful in this area, that's when God can commit more to us, so that we will not be limited. God doesn't want anybody to be limited when it comes to finance. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Okay. Thank you, sir. I don't even know how to summarize.
Okay, thank you so much, the Kutis. Thank you so much for that labor. It's not easy to bring. It was, during that expanse of time, you know, it was the burden of the Spirit, you know, from the Lord to the house. And it was really rich. Everything said, every declaration was authoritative. So somehow, trying to summarize it, it may be a daunting task. Thank you so much. Now, I want to give opportunity to couples in the house to give us some supply. I believe in my heart that you took out time to summarize, to listen together. So I'm going to be calling out one or two couples, and if you do not respond, the singles will take over. Okay, singles, you don't want to take over. Okay, you love your couple, you love your brethren. Okay, you love the couples. It's okay. It's all right. Okay, who do I call now? I'm sure couples will review the messages together, didn't we? Yeah, so some couples are hiding their head like this. Sister Bola Hassan, is she in the house? Sister Bola Hassan, come and bless us, please. 1 or 2 minutes, please. Please, let's appreciate her. So the younger couples, get ready. I'm going to call you. So I want a senior couple to just give you a template to respond. Okay, just briefly, what blessed you in the message? Very simple question. Very simple. It's not difficult. Just tell us in 1 minute, 2 minutes, you know, I was listening, this is what I saw, and it blessed my heart. Just that. Please proceed.
What really blessed me, the message, was giving, and in the financial message, giving. So God, that really dwelt on that giving, that okay. we should bless our pastors. Okay. We can also bless our brethren. Okay. And we should not take our eyes away from our brethren's needs. Okay. So we should be able to bless our brethren. And I
leave us
too.
Hallelujah. Please, let's appreciate her. Thank you so much. Brother Okpe. Brother Okpe, please. Brother Okpe, don't worry. I'm not calling you to come and preach. Just, you see our sister Boladi, just sharp, you know. Just something that blessed you. Don't open.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay. Daddy said so many things, but one thing that I'm blessed with is that aspect of giving by faith, and don't look at what is around you, but respond by faith.
All right, thank you. You can see the questions are simple. Amen. I'm sure the Ogundipes are ready to. Amen. Bro, Bryce said, let me start. No, let your wife start. Okay, go ahead. She prefers you. Go ahead.
It's a juro she wants to do. Don't mind that. Amen. Praise God. I want to appreciate our parents, daddy and mommy. And we appreciate them. When I was listening to the meeting, it was so much burden that that daddy was communicating. It was 4 hours, 39 minutes. Yes, there was so much that came, so much instruction, so much things that that we need to couple. We need to decouple all the instruction and see how we can really align with what the Lord is saying. You know, maybe I can even start from there. One of the things that that Daddy really spoke about about alignment is that sometimes there's a way that we disjoint our finances from our life in the spirit. And Daddy took out time to nail it as the spirit of poverty. Like the spirit of poverty is thinking below God's standard, thinking below which God has made provisions for. We began to look at what some of the things that the Lord has called us to do as couples, and we should be able to stand with the spirit of poverty. We will not be able to stand in the place that the Lord has designed that we stand in. The Lord designed our life to be a blessing to the saint, be a blessing to others, be a blessing to other couples. Our life should be a tributary of blessing. And the spirit of poverty is a limitation. It's a limitation that will not allow us to really express the life of God that has been designed. I didn't know I was going to sound like this. So we began to talk about that the apostolic is holistic. God is holistic in his view. He said it is systematic, meaning it is sequential. He talked about that it is also architectural, meaning the word of God gives us the foundation of how we ought to live our life. It's the foundation for the expression of God's life. And he said it is holistic. You know, just listening to the message, we're talking about it, I just look at my son, Eden, for example. There is a way that we think about him holistic. We're thinking about his school. We're thinking about is growing now, he's teething. We need to give him calcium. He's not eating well. We need to give him multivitamin. We need to give him this. We need to give him that. We're also thinking about his spiritual. How do we instruct? My wife has had so much burden. She said she wants to go out and watch videos on how to instruct a 1-year-old. So we're not just thinking about spiritual. We are not just thinking about. We are not just thinking about this. We are thinking about the school. This school should we attend? So our building as Christians is holistic. So there is a way our mind disconnect KBN from School of Christ. You get so when they call that we are having KBN meeting. You see, brethren don't come because they feel it's a lesser meeting. You know, when Daddy was even about to start the message, Daddy began to say that the only reason why you should not be in this meeting is if you are already, and that is when I see you very well and I know you very well, you are not yet there. You get what I'm talking about? So when God is bringing supply, wisdom, you know, one of the things that Daddy spoke that I really got is that the spirit of poverty it's an understanding. It's a mindset that limits us from being able to hit the threshold that God has designed for us. So I just want to charge our hearts. Praise God. I just want to charge our hearts. Oh my God. I've scattered all the notes. But I just said now scattered. I wanted to take it one after the other. So I just want to charge our mind that we should be holistic in our mind. Giving to Baba's land is not disjointed from tithe, is not disjointed from offering, is not disjointed from love gift, love offering to our parents, is not disjointed. So all of those things are still expression of the spiritual life. So our life should be, we should be bountiful in our mind. These are some of the things that I was talking about. We should think bountifully. Praise the Lord. That he spoke about different kinds of giving. Spoke about covenant giving. So tithing is the beginning of giving. And there's a way you are, and I even give an example that you tithe, you feel you have given. So there's a way we see tithe as a covenant. We don't, but when you talked about offering, you think offering. We have to start talking to ourselves about it. That the emphasis we do, I need to pay my tithe. Do we plan for offering? So this is my salary, and this salary I don't want to. This is the offering I want to give for this month. I don't want to give lesser than this. Praise God. Are we getting what I'm talking about? There's a way where we want to give. Offering has now become something that we give. By compulsion, as the offering basket is passing, you are counting the amount that is in your pocket. You are counting. You get what I'm talking about? Don't buy two sausage rolls, 600 naira, and give 100 naira as offering. That is a cry. Don't do my God like that. It's not a very good mindset. But there should be an amount. We have to start looking at. So how much do we give as offering? We need to start saying that. So my wife was saying that, young man, you can't give below this. Praise God. So you can't give below this as offering. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So we need to be enlarged in our mind. And we say the money is enough. Since you have been spending this, since we have been giving that small offering, has the money really been enough? You get what I'm saying? So it calls to me that we should change our mindset. We should change the concept of how we give. I pray that the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, and Daddy said something that I want to say. Daddy was talking about that. That Daddy said the Lord spoke to him that there was an angel of finance that has been assigned. And Daddy was talking about how we need to key into it. We need to key into it by faith. So we should have an attitude of faith. I feel that as Christians, our life should be full of breakthroughs. Breakthrough in the spirit, breakthrough in our finances, breakthrough in every areas of our life. There should always be miracles in our life. There should always be miracle in our finances, miracle even in our walk with God. Our life should abound with miracles. And it's also, and if our life will abound with miracles, meaning there will be many things we will do spontaneously. As Daddy was even teaching, maybe you come to church on Thursday and the message blessed you. And when it is time to give offering, you are still calculating offering. You get what I'm talking about? We need to be, even in our giving sometimes, Daddy was even saying, how spontaneous are we even in giving? Say, as the Lord is speaking to you, you just had the Lord say, and you wanted to give so amount before, but because you have been blessed, because the Lord has reached out to you, and you just made up your mind that you want to give more. Praise the Lord. And another thing that he was beginning to talk about is giving to people that minister to us spiritually. Giving spiritually for, Bible says we should be willing to communicate and distribute. Praise God. There was a particular message that Daddy taught on giving, that communication is for those that are over us. Praise God. Why distributing is among the same. So communication is not talking back. So he that is blessed spiritually, he should learn to communicate. Praise God. We have not really done that as we should. And communication, we should communicate. Those that have sown, those that has given to us spiritually, we should learn to communicate. So our give, so love offering. Everybody say love offering. Love offering is not just when you are planning it. You know? Praise God. I that's what I feel in my heart. Love offering is not that way. Every time, every end of the year, you have something you plan to give daddy and mommy. Everybody should have that mind. As you are thinking of chicken in your house, you should also be thinking of chicken for those that labor over us. It should be part of family budget. You get what I'm saying? But even apart from that, there should even be love offering. You know, your own money just enter your account. You just transfer. Praise God. Everybody say transfer. Transfer shouldn't be far from us. You understand what I'm saying? Praise God. Okay, praise God. Philippians 4:19. Praise God. I've not said, praise God. Okay, I think I'm saying what God wants me to say. Praise God. Philippians 4:19. But God shall supply. Can we go to some of the verses before? That he talked so much about from Obadiah chapter 1 verse 9. I thought I was going to say something about that one. But I think what I've said, he said, but not because I desire gift. This was the Philippians church. Say, my God shall supply all your needs according to the riches in glory in Christ Jesus. He said, now not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have also abound, and I am full, and have received of Epaphroditus the things which was sent from you, an odor of sweet smelling, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing. But my God shall supply all your needs according to riches in glory. Everybody say riches in glory. So but what Daddy was saying that when we give, what we give to is that we give to connect grace. Again, it's just like when Bible says that bring ye the tithe so that there can be meat in the house. I'm sure that meat is understanding. I believe that meat is not so that you can have money first. It's so that there can be meat in the house. Where the meat in the house of God is the word of God. Yeah. So this connecting is to connect to riches of grace. Yeah. Of course, when meat comes, the first meat do is to raise us. So meat is understanding. So this riches is the grace that we receive. Grace for life. Grace to progress in our walk with the Lord. So one of the things that he really said, that really said is that as we are giving, what we are connecting is grace. And that grace can trickle down in every areas of our life. Wisdom to live in family life, wisdom for marriage, wisdom for household, wisdom for our career, wisdom for our finances. So all of those things are still from, is an outflow of the grace of God. And that is one of the reasons why financial increase is not disjointed, is not disconnected from growing up spiritually. It's not disconnected from maturity. Praise God. It's not disconnected. It's actually the same flow of grace that we are enjoying in every area of our life. You know, one of the things that he said that really struck me is that our financial blessing is not just like the labor of the fools. It's not like the labor of the fools. It's not foolishness. It's not like the labor of the fools. We are not the people that go out and we are looking for money. You know, one of the things that he said is that the world preaches love for money, confidence in it, and the soul trading itself for it. I'm quoting what that he said. So that is what the world preaches. So it is not about intellect. It's not about intelligence. It's not about how you can think, how you can strategize. The reason, the end of all those things is death. But we give to connect grace for life. So that's the reason why when I look at it, it's an endless loop. We connect to grace. Grace comes for life. We are being enlarged in marriage, in household, in blessing, even in our finances, and everything. And we keep responding because of grace. Keep responding because of life. And the circles continues and continues and continues. So that's the reason why, even as we grow up spiritually, it will be showing in our natural. It will be showing in our finances. It will be showing in our household. It will be showing in how we'll handle our career. That he spends so much time talking about us improving our career, in our career, in our businesses. It is still the wisdom of the Spirit that there must not be gap. There must not be any gap. The Holy Ghost must be teaching us. We must be people that have been inspired by the Spirit. We are the most people that are engaging life. To use to live our life, you know. One of the finally, Finally, one of the things Daddy now really said that really caught my attention was because he was talking about building. He was quoting from Jeremiah chapter 29 from verse 5 to 7. Talked about build houses, build gardens and dwell in it. Build this. Say, give your children hands, your daughter hands in marriage. And Daddy began to say that we must build businesses. We must build businesses, lasting businesses. You know, it was business, our careers. We must do well. We must enlarge our band. You know, Daddy was yabbing us 9 to 5 people. You know, Daddy was yabbing us 9 to 5 people that we can. Daddy said we can start there, but don't stay there. And you know, Daddy was using mommy as an example. How mommy has built a career such that she's a consultant now, and the 9 to 5 does not hold her. He said that there should be a particular. You see, as we grow, we should have time for the things of God. So we can start with 9 to 5. But we should be, if you are a professional, there is a particular place that if you build your profession up to a level, they will not tie you down. Because you can have people working for you. Daddy even said that you can even read Bible at work. But if you are somebody employed, if you open Bible, your boss may fire you. You know what I'm talking about? So he was also talking about business people. That there is a way you can grow your business, that the business will be working for you. Career, if you have career, we can grow. It can grow so much in the career, in your career, that there should also be rest that we will enjoy in those places. If we have really followed the Spirit, if we have really served righteousness, I believe that the Lord is going to help us to be able to be. So, our vessel must be enlarged. We must have bands that God can bless. Our investment, we must invest. We must be enlarged. I pray that the Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Please, let's appreciate Brother Bright. Thank you so much. You know, just a little more note on some of the things that came forth that day. Did you listen to the message? I raised my hand. Okay. I read the transcript. I raised my hand. I went back to my notebook. I raised my hand. Okay, let me go for the last. I was there last year. I raised my hand. I was there last year. Ah. Amen. That meeting was a delivery of templates. Kingdom, it was a declaration of a season over this house. It was very authoritative. Many things were said that the Lord helped Daddy to open up, expand, and then establish. The reason, you know, I'm, you know, bringing this up again is for us to realize that that template has already been released in the Spirit. So it is left for us, not just couples, every member of this household is expected to go find that template and build with it. That is the truth. Hallelujah. A lot was said. Now, one of the things I want to just quickly bring out is in the context of Matthew 6:33. You know, there's a way a religious mind can read that scripture and then become laid back. Well, Daddy helped us on that day to see that the context here was actually addressing anxiety, addressing worries, addressing, you know, care for your needs. It wasn't really, really saying you should not engage your natural. Are we together? Yes, a number of places we saw how Paul, you know, spoke to, he said, he that steals should steal in Ephesians chapter 4. He that steals should steal no more. Rather, let him what? Walk with his hands. A lot is in that walk with his hands. It's not saying that you must be a bricklayer or you must say this, but walking with hands is that thing which the Lord has put in your hands to do. It means you must grow it. And you know, how we concluded this verse was just walking with his hands, the thing which is good. You know, logically, we would have just said so that he will have to eat. He was needy, so he went to steal. So one would have concluded that go and walk so that you will eat, logically. But you see, the apostle brought the kingdom view to it. Why are you walking that you may have? To what? To give him that is also stealing, like you. Because the person is in need. Do you understand what I'm saying? Meaning that if there are many brethren who are fulfilling this scripture, we won't have brethren who are stealing. Now, the stealing there is not that Sister Gillian kept money in the purse and somebody went to pull it out. No, but it is a brethren who is aware of the cash flow. Sister Imalu Ogun. And then you now start doing attache. You know, there's a way you just come, say, you know, Sister Gillian, I'm really trusting the Lord for many things. And they just fake one tears. Just want to just come out and just say, I'm really trusting the Lord. I have no shoes. That is stealing. Now, of course, doesn't mean that if you are in need, you cannot express.
Yeah.
But when knowing that your sister has substance, you now want to take advantage of it, that now becomes your pattern of obtaining. Just go and show your vulnerability. The bowels of mercy will flow. You are a thief. So what they are saying is that there is a kingdom template to harness finance. It is to labor with that idea so that you will have abundance to give. Do you know that the person that can give, he don't belly food. Do you understand? Generally, he don't belly food to be able to give. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
So let's give Sister Gillian opportunity to scatter the floor. Just bless us.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, good evening, everybody. Good evening, Mommy. Good evening, Daddy in absentia, and good evening, pastors. Okay, what I wanted to say, they've said everything. So, like, of all that has been said, this is the sum. So, I want to, you know, when I was listening to the message, I was really burdened. I was burdened about a lot of things. I was angry about a lot of things. What I was angry about, I was burdened about how much how much resources the Lord has brought to us and how little we have used, me especially. You know, I just look at that labor. You know, I want to appreciate that. Please, let's appreciate that. I'm not joking. See, this is for, I don't really do. The labor was much. It was much. Over, everybody's saying 4 hours. On my phone, it's 5 hours plus. I don't know. And I was wondering, you know, at some point, we were not responding again. Daddy was even saying, that you people, you are eating something. Me, I've not eaten anything. That and you know, he said something, and that thing hit me. He said, I don't want you to stay this way. I want you to prosper, so I will teach you. Daddy said that while he was ministering. Everybody just were tired. We're not responding again. And he was, you know, I used a word while I was just in, Lizzie was at our place. So I was just in, I said that Ishe Legbira. You know people that they call Legbira. If I say Labora, you might not really understand the weight. Labira, those you know those mama that are already old, they don't really have strength, but because they need money, they will carry that was the work that he did. If you go through that message, you will know that he actually really labored. And I'm praying that the Lord will keep that for us. See, I said something. I said, if God starts to bless this man, if anybody says something, I am so sure that fire will burn that person's mouth. It is true, because he actually really labored. He poured everything out. And I knew it was not just because he just wanted to preach or he just wanted to talk, but it was the Lord. The Lord was really upon him. You can perceive that the hand of the Lord was upon him, and he poured everything up. I am praying that the Lord will keep our parents. The Lord will preserve them, and the Lord will bless them. And as the Lord will bless me, I will take care of them.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's do something. Let's rise up to our feet. I want us to appreciate Daddy and Mommy.
Yeah.
Please, just if you want to shout, shout. If you want to clap, clap. If you want to. Thank you, mommy.
Thank you so much.
God bless you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Yeah, so I really, really appreciated I really appreciate his
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Saprasto de Corvenesca Pargadoski Banaska. It was me that spoke. It was me that spoke. It was I, your Lord. I gave my counsel. I gave my counsel. I gave my counsel. For even that time, a season began. A season began. A season began that is still upon you. You are still in that season. And many of you have reacted, responded, even in ways that have provoked my angel. For I sent an angel. I sent an angel to you. I sent an angel to you with regards to finances. With regards to finances. And I brought instructions. I brought counsels. I brought things for you to do. But many have not responded as I thought they would respond. Because they were lack. You lacked faith. You lacked love. You lacked faith. You lacked faith. But I'm saying to you out of my benevolence. I'm saying to you out of my mercy. I'm saying that it is still over you. That season is still over you. Plug in now. Plug in now. Enter now. Enter now. Because it's not going to stay forever. It's not going to be here forever. It's an opportune time in the season, in the spirit. It's an opportune time even for you to respond. Respond in many ways. Respond in the area of faith. Respond in the area of love. Respond in the area of discernment. Respond in the area of trust. Respond in all those manners and obey instructions. Instructions concerning what you are doing. Instructions concerning how I want you to upgrade what you are doing. For all of those instructions are yet towards all this. They are yet towards the increase. For there is an increase. There is an increase. There is an increase that is still coming. And what you still see now is still a foretaste. It's a foretaste of the increase that is coming. For there is an increase that is yet coming. There is an increase that is yet coming. I say to you again, prepare your house. Prepare your barns. Prepare that which you are carrying. Prepare what you prepare your vessels. Because when I begin to pour my increase, when I begin to pour and bring the increase, oh, it is according to what you have. It is according to what you have that I will be able to feel, saith the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. I want us to rise to our feet. Let's just pray with this scripture, this word that has come in 2-3 minutes. I just imagine that if the Lord has sent an angel and opened the season over us, and then the Lord is saying that we are provoking the angel, I want us to cry to the Lord for mercy. Certain things were said. Faith, trust, discernment, upgrading the things that you are doing. Many of us, nudgings have been coming and we have been casting it aside. I want us to pray. Let's engage the Lord this evening that this season will not pass over us. Rather, we would take hold of that which you have brought for us. It is not a silent prayer, please. Let us engage from the depth of our hearts. I want us to pray. Perhaps you have provoked the angel. When an idea, a $1 billion idea, probably dropped in your heart. You cast it aside. You felt it was Babylonian. But I want us to pray this evening that the Lord will help us. If it is a circumcision of the mind, an upgrading and understanding, I want us to pray that the Lord will help us. That we'll be more sensitive to what the Lord is saying. We will be more sensitive to what the Lord is saying. We will not hold back the hand of the Lord in moving us forward as an assembly. We will not hold back the hand of the Lord when He is coming with all of His resources to move us onward. I want us to engage. I want us to engage. I want us to ask the Lord for mercy. I want us to ask the Lord for mercy. Increase in discernment. Increase in discernment. We want to be a people that are discerning. We want to be a people that are discerning. Not a people that will lay waste the resources as it comes from heaven. If you are joking with this prayer, you are joking with your finances. If you are joking with this prayer, you are joking with the supply of heaven over your home, over your life. Mando remine sotisi kabala badabaya. Hey, shotebre kisusi. I want us to ask the Lord for mercy. In any way that we have held Him back, delayed Him, that the Lord will have mercy on us. And in all of these ways, we will find grace for change. Monte braka susi amana manote. In Jesus' name we are praying. Amen. Let's be seated.
Amen. Okay, so I just want us to read Haggai. What I want to say is there. So I will just Haggai chapter 1 from verse 4. Then let's see verse 4. Say, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed house, and this house lie waste? That is the Lord's house. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your way. Said, ye have sown much. Actually, this is where I'm going. Said, ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat. I want all of us to look at this scripture and read it and look at your life if this thing is not happening. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not what? Enough. Ye drink, but ye are not what? Filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. If we look at our life very well, to a level, with the level of labor that you put, God is not wicked. You know, Daddy said that God wants us to be satisfied. He said He wants us to over, you know, He was using an explanation of when you eat and you know you are okay. Even that if they said I should come and eat more, you tell them that muti wa okay. That is the level that God wants to bring us. So, and this cannot come, we cannot come to that. Verse 7 said that, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your ways. He said, you know, I said that paying attention to the building of the Lord, which is our soul. The building of the Lord is not this physical building. Is our soul. The Lord is building us to become His temple. You know, that is what the Lord is building. But most of the time, we do not pay attention to the workings of the Lord in our soul. And that is what has brought limitations in our life. And it's not only the limitation is not only in our growth spiritually, it's also affecting us in the natural. So all of us, I just want to charge us that we should pay attention to what the Lord is doing in our life in this season. Messages has come this year about communion. Communion with the Lord. This discipleship has come. A message of Christ has come. And many messages are still going to come. The lesser you pay attention to them, the lesser you will prosper. And our prosperity, let me say something that the prosperity of your soul is a template for blessing. So, but to prosper in your soul, prosper in the natural is not cause. It is not a cause. We are the one that naturally bring limitation into our life. The Lord brings resources for us to use to grow. You can imagine. Let me explain it so that I don't want to use plenty English. That's what I want. I'm still using English, but I want to use very simple English so that in case all the grammar is very too big. So let me come to our level. So, you know, when they are saying that resources that the Lord has brought, that, oh, the resources to build the house, the resources to build your house is the message. Let's take, for example, discipleship. Now, discipleship, they said that we should stay under our pastor. We should honor our pastors. We should honor our leaders. Abi, we should be true sons and daughters to our parents. So the moment I am not aligning myself to that standard that the Lord has brought, the moment I'm not aligning myself, I am naturally bringing a limitation to my life. I don't know if you are getting me. So it's not far-fetched. That's why I'm trying to explain it. They are talking about communion with the Lord. If you don't commune with the Lord, possible launch effect for any wisdom to fima prosper in the natural. Do we understand? So there's no way you will not gather money and put it in a bag that has holes. It's not possible because onimo, you cannot know, you cannot have understanding. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. So we must take with a lot of priority in our hearts the things that the Lord is communicating to us in this season. That is what is building our house. That is what the Lord is doing at this time. Daddy said that disalignment, I wrote it down. He said that disalignment is one of the things that limits us. I'm coming, I wrote it down. So I want to read it the way I wrote it. He said financial limitation is a consequence of disalignment. So, okay, article verse 6. Yeah. So that is what made God bring limitation. You are working and working. You are doing everything. If you look at your life, I am sowing. Mon give to the brethren. I am giving my pastors at least to the level that I can give. I am doing this. I am doing that. Yet, I'm still not prospering in the natural. Do you think God does not want you to prosper? God wants us to prosper. God wants us to have good things. You know, God wants me to be able to build a mansion. I should be able to buy a car for my pastors. I should be able to take care of my natural parents. No, see, it is not, we are not the type that doesn't take care of our biological parents. No, we are not taught that way. At least I know of that dear mommy. I know how they take care of their natural parents. No, it's not like they have so much that you give them, but I know that they give to them and they take care of them. When you see them, you know that they are being taken care of. So if you don't have enough to eat, please tell me, how do you want to take care of your natural parents, your biological parents, and then your spiritual parents? Katowa sopan wo brethren. We said we will lend to nations. Got the Bible so near. How are we going to lend to nations when you have not been able to lend to the sister beside you? And I'm praying that the Lord will give us wisdom. There was so much burden in the heart of Daddy when he was ministering Daddy. And you know, I just felt bad. I just felt a lot of things in my, I just feel, I know what is my problem. How we are going to pay, all of us are going to pay attention to the things that are coming to us in the house. You see, it's not far. It's the house of the Lord that is built in Agai. It's not that is left waste. It's our soul. It is us. How we have to grow. Hey, Joe, let all of us pay attention to what is. Don't argue. I know that Satan fights us. And Satan does not like us. He does not want us to prosper. He does not want us to prosper in the spirit and in the natural. He does not want us to prosper. He wants us to be begging. Because Job has so worked with the kingdom as advancement. Maybe we have started going to Oyo. Is it not money that they are using there? They will transportation. They will transport there. They will give at least those people that you are going to meet. You are going to give them something. Right? So we need money. And the Lord has given the spirit, so the angel of money is in the house. We must relate with him by faith. That's what Daddy said. That we must first relate with him by faith. First, your mind must be open to know that it is possible. You must know that it is possible. And one thing the only thing that can bring limitation to you is when you are not growing, when you are not paying attention to the things that the Lord is saying in this season. I'm praying that heaven will help us. Okay, one other thing I want to talk. Daddy gave a commandment to all the wives. And he said that all of us must fight the spirit of wastage in our homes. I know very well, I can remember when I was in pastor's house. Mom, okay, she's there. Sorry. Mommy can fight that sin because she knows that you will bring the spirit of poverty to the house. So, all of us, we adjust. I told my people in the house, when I noticed that they started mismanaging resources, I told them that everything that comes to this house is the Lord. There's not so much that I'm doing. It is the Lord that brings resources. And see, if you have not started giving, you have not started doing household, you have not even started, though. You don't even know where you are going. They're talking about household. You are not adjusting your head and put your head to the right place. Don't waste time. What time is going? Time is, how old are you? Some of us here, we are 8, we are 28, we are 29, we are 30. And we are still talking about household. You are still doing your head like this. Is it until when you are 40 that you adjust your head? See, please, you don't even know how long you are going to live. Yes. You don't know how long you are going to live. I know that God will give us long life. I know. But I also know that if anything happens, what position do you want? Daddy said something, and I've never forgotten that thing since. That was about 6 or 7 years ago, that he does not want to meet the Lord naked. I want to be clothed. I don't want to meet the Lord naked. So, if I'm not doing household, so don't think it's far. I'm not obeying commandments of household. I'm not obeying authorities. They are positioning me, they are instructing me, I'm not obeying. Me only were clothed. So, it's not far. My sisters and brothers, so please, let's talk to ourselves. Let's think and adjust ourselves. I'm praying that the Lord will give us grace. I'm praying that the Lord will give us wisdom. So I was talking about the spirit of wastage. In my house, I used to tell them when they cook porridge, and it's potato porridge, oh, they don't used to like it. They used to see it as, all of them are here, so they can hear me. I'm not saying behind them. They used to see it as suffering food. And potato porridge is very healthy. It's very healthy, even than yam porridge. So when they now serve it, all of them will now be doing, you will see the way they will be doing. If it is rice now or something, they will be taking. But if it is potato porridge, they will now be wasting my food. There was a day I now enter kitchen. I now met one. They covered it. They've eaten half. They now covered the rest. Cockroach has entered it. And I am so sure that when the person comes, the person will not eat it. We just pour it away. I said, could see problem. She will only 2,000. Let me write a letter. Back my only 1,000. By the time you share it and it's not even enough, there will be no need for wastage. So anybody that knows that, I told everybody, I know I'm not suffering you. That food is healthy for your soul. And it's even in the night. It's when we get to that. It's very good for you. So I don't understand you're wasting it. So I will not allow anybody to waste. So I'm reminding all of us again, not only the wives alone and everybody, that you should fight against wastage. It's one thing, it's one spirit that brings poverty. It's the spirit that brings, if the Lord brings his resources to you, and the Lord, and you know that he said something, that the Lord entrusts us with resources. So when the Lord entrusts us with resources and you mismanage it, heaven will fight you. So if you want to call the wrath of heaven to your house, allow wastage. Let food be wasting. Let it come and pack your rice. You know, I remember those days, mommy will shout. We will cook jollof rice, Hawaii, no, we will cook jollof rice, and the rice, the damp, will now burn so much that when water soak it, when you pack the rice, it will be like 3 cups. So that is wastage. I don't know how you cook your jollof rice that all the rice will burn. So let's fight against it. These are places where we waste money. See, there are some things that you buy. Your own might not even be food. If you know you are the type that you don't really eat, just tell them that I don't want so much. Just give me little. And the people that have capacity like us, that eat more, you know, you allow us to eat more. That is brethren. You now see somebody that knows that can eat very well. You not give the person enough. You now give the person that will not eat. You give the person small. You are wasting food. And God, the Lord will not be happy with you. Amen. So, and it's not, that's not the only place you waste money. When you are supposed to use money for offering, and you use that money to buy a sausage, you have wasted resources. Because that money is supposed to come to the house of the Lord. That is the way it's supposed to be. You know, I remember one song when he was ministering about building. Oh, that song, we used to sing it in my old church. They would say that, Kole fun mi o baba, ma se mi ni me aya. La, emi a kole fun Jesu, ki Jesu kole fun mi. Abi, emi a kole. So, do you want to build the house of the Lord? As you are paying attention to the house in the soul, in your spirit, you also pay attention to the house we want to build in the natural. Because we need a space that will accommodate people, nations, people that are outside there that need to hear the word. We need to build an accommodation for them to come and sit down, to come and hear. If a president is coming, which we need a befitting, it's not because of him, but we need to pray, you know, do something like that. We need some natural things to attract them, for them to come and sit and hear the word. So we got to build the house. So the Lord will give us grace. I'm praying that the Lord will enable us. The Lord will help our hearts to be adjusted and know that you can give. And they will be saying that you should give. You'll be thinking about how much have you given? You have not given. And that is what is paining me. It's just to pain me. I don't know how people react. When I'm supposed to give and I'm not able to give, I don't like it. And when you have household and you think that it's only your household that you'll be giving to, I'm sorry, I have about 4 or 5 people in your house, and the Lord has given me grace to give to them. But they are not the only one. All of you are my brethren. And as much as I have, I should give you. And not that alone, I should take care of my pastors. Daddy also gave a commandment that we should give our parents money every month. Pay attention to it. All the people in my house, I used to tell them, I said, you people should call your parents so that they will not think I'm the one collecting your salary. Call them, send them money every month. It's very, very important. I'm not just saying that because they're staying with me. I'm also teaching them a culture of taking care of their parents. Me too, I would do it. I'm doing it the little way. But when the instruction came in that message, I took it upon myself. I told my husband that, see, in this area, we will do better. So please, let all of us adjust ourselves. If it is possible for you to go and get that message and listen to it, oh, my help, mind you, the Lord will give all of us grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. These have scattered too. You know, that was, I think, the spirit of jealousy from the Lord possessed her, you know, to passionately put forth those thoughts. And you see, the thing is, you know, many of us, you know, with the way we attend to these things, are not aware that there is an order in the kingdom. There is a way, there is a progression of supply. And that was what Daddy started with and labored in those hours to establish, to make us see that you will not only hear instructions with respect to faith, hope, and charity. It will not just be instruction about a nudging to forgive your sister. Go and greet your brother. It won't stop there. But it will progress into take that course. Sow for this land. Go and buy that land. Invest there. Build capacity for this business. So you see, there is a progression. It starts with an understanding of the counsel of the Lord, being paying rapt and close attention to the doctrine in the house. Now, you know, when we look at, if you see, when Paul was writing to the Ephesian church, he talked about how the Gentiles have, you know, gone, they've, you know, they are far gone, lost. But you not say, but ye have not so learned Christ. So there is a learning in Christ. Now, you see, this is it. It is the same spirit of Christ that will instruct us in righteousness.
to love our brethren, to be forgiving, to be more tolerant, to forbear, to be peaceful, to be kind, and all of that. It is that same spirit of Christ that will also instruct us in the natural. Don't eat this kind of food. It will harm you in the future. So if we have not been paying close attention to those nudgings, forgive your brother. I want you to pray. Be diligent with praying. Stay with the word. If we have not been diligent with those instructions, you will miss it. When it comes to now, for all these things to percolate into your natural, you will miss it. And that's why we are having all the challenges we are having. So when we are not having the much supply as we should in the natural, it just goes to show that we have not been diligent in following the Spirit, in obeying those instructions of righteousness. And I will say that the instructions of righteousness is also take that course. Invest here. Don't put it there, you will lose it. Those are also instructions of righteousness. We will see in the epistles how the apostles write. They will bring forth doctrine, clear doctrine, and then towards the end, now bring application. So that is how the Spirit administers salvation to us. There is, first of all, the laying of the foundation of truth in our heart. And from there, they now begin to guide us. Now, it is the same discipline you apply to waiting on the Lord to purify your heart. It is that same discipline with which you will wait on the Lord to give you ideas for your business. Yeah. So it is in that same place where you are waiting, right there and then when they are speaking to you about adjusting your heart, purifying your heart, they now tell you, okay, go and put money there. Are we together? Yes. So if we are not there, where they are supposed to instruct us at the beginning of righteousness, it will not show forth in the natural of righteousness. That is the emphasis that the Lord, through our parents, established on that day. And it began with an announcement, a spiritual announcement over the house. The Lord has sent forth an angel of finance specifically for this task. So we are not just enjoying emissaries from the Lord, bringing doctrine, cutting edge pastures for us, in season upon season, there is also the supply of emissaries to guide us in our natural. So, and they will use the same technology. What is that technology? Wait in the Spirit. So when they don't find you where they are supposed to speak to you about readjustment of your heart, they will manufacture another technology to instruct you on what to do in your career. So it is one and the same life, one and the same government, one and the same administration. So when you are not finding grace in your natural, check it. Your walk with God, you are not attending to the things of the Spirit the way you ought to. There is a measure for every one of us. There is a measure. There is an expectation for every one of us. And if we are not attending to it, to the measure with which we have been asked or required to attend to, there will be no supply. There is supply actually, but you won't receive it. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Please just appreciate the couples that came forth. Lord bless you. Thank you so much for coming. All right, so the next couple of minutes, we will be having the next couple will come to summarize Reverend Helen's message. All right, so they'll be reviewing living the supernatural life. How many of us remember that message? Hallelujah. So I'm coming back to us couple again, just one couple this time around. Just one couple who will just... what blessed them in that message. Don't worry, I won't ask you whether you listen to it again. But I know we were there. So I will likely pick somebody I know was there. Brother Tosi, please. Just come and... just... In that message, what blessed you? This is a very straightforward question. So just confirm.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Okay, mommy thought on, she used a lot of examples about her life, how she was almost going to miss it in her relationship. She wanted to marry a doctor. She had a lot of expectation in marrying as a lawyer. She wants to marry a doctor. Then she emphasized more about the leading of the Spirit. How that you must be led by the Spirit on everything that you are doing. You know, she gave us examples of how she almost missed it at different junction. I think she met like 2 doctors. Yeah, then, then she got to Lagos. The way she left the church, and she came back because the Lord told her she should come back. How she submitted again. So, majorly, what she really drilled down for us that day was more on the leading of the Spirit. How we must pay attention to what the Lord is saying. Now work with Him.
Amen. Thank you so much. Let's appreciate Him. So let's appreciate the Olani Pekuns as they come forward. Brother Caleb and Sister Fire. Caleb, I can see the way they are hailing you. You are very much appreciated, sir. Please have your seat. All right, so they'll be reviewing the living the supernatural life that God, through God's own handmaiden, Reverend Helen, blessed us. Okay, so, sir, as the head of the home, who have you appointed? Have you appointed yourself? Okay, so please.
Good evening, church. Good evening, mommy. Good evening, daddy in absentia. Good evening, pastors. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma. We are grateful for the labor, for all that daddy and mommy are doing for us in the house. Just like Sister Gillian has said, I really appreciate the way she started by honoring daddy and mommy and saying so much about their sacrifices, their labor, and all they are doing to actually see to our growth. It's a whole lot, and all of everything they are dying to, just to see that we are growing and we are growing healthy. Mommy, we are grateful. Daddy, we are grateful. So we are reviewing Mommy Helen's message, and the theme, or like I say, the topic is living a supernatural life. And I wasn't around, but I streamed. And I was, even at first then, I was so much blessed with that message. And while I was listening to the message again, I could still remember all of what Mommy Helen said and how Mommy really labored. And she used her life. A lot of people don't like talking about their life. Some people does not want to say some things because of what some other persons will take out of context and they will start talking about. But, mommy was so, she was so at home with us. She really said a lot, and of which both, I know, singles and couples were really blessed from that message. So it was living a supernatural life. And I know that just like we did the No Dual Life Challenge, it still brings us down to, it is still one life. There is no my marriage life. There is no career life. There is no family life, prayer life. It is still one life. And that one life is the supernatural life. And that is the life that God actually proposed for us to live even before the world began. And I know it will take me to know the message started with a prophecy. And the emphasis of the prophecy is that, he said, I have come to give you life. I've come to give you wisdom. I've come to pour oil. And I have come to pour oil on marriages to reduce friction and also to give life, to take away insanities and to give us life. And, you know, that was how mommy started on that ground. That was the prophecy. And mommy started by taking us back to Genesis and telling us that our existence is to bring God's pleasure, is to our purpose in life is one thing, that is to generate pleasure to God. I know it says that, it says, nothing brings God's pleasure except that things aligns to his will. So whatever that is not in the will of God does not bring pleasure to him. So if we are living a life that is not that is not under alignment or to what the Lord wants us to do, or we are falling short, then we are actually not bringing pleasure to him. So he said, and he said, God constituted marriage on a living soul. That was the beginning of, mommy really made so much emphasis going to Genesis, and that was the background of the message. I said, marriage started with a living soul. And the living soul that marriage started with, they already know, they have the instruction, they have the knowledge, the wisdom of how they should live. They don't, mommy said they don't need marriage seminar. The living soul that started marriage did not need a marriage seminar. Not until sin came in and something happened. And that was when we see a lot of marriage counselors, so many people trying to fix home, trying to, like, and we still see those things falling apart. So initially, if sin had not actually come into that thing that the Lord has, God has done, maybe today we wouldn't be having marriage seminars if we were able to keep that ordinance. But because sin came and there was, we fall short of that grace, and we now have to start fixing it again. And you know, God was so merciful to us. Even at that, he still found a way around it. And he was still able to see how he still can bring, express his life, express his will, even in men. So he said that God wants to fill the whole earth with eternal being. That is still the Genesis thought. God wants to fill the whole earth with eternal being and be able to dwell and find habitation in them. That is still the purpose of creation. He wants to fill the whole earth with people of like-mindedness, of his image. He still wants, that's still the purpose, and he knows that it is probably through marriage that that life can actually find expression, because it is in marriage that we see reproduction. So, and if we don't, if there is no reproduction, there is no way we'll have continuity. So it is through marriage that we can actually find that wisdom. So he says that, so he said to build according to pattern. It's okay, God wants to be involved in the building of our home, just like he was involved in creation. He also, and sin came in and the whole thing changed. And even after he has made remediation for that, you know, he still wanted to continue that thought in men. And we now have to now align to him by allowing him give us, he has given us a template. So we need to also follow that template. And God is even still interested, despite the fact that the initial thought has been truncated, he's still interested in building home. And he says that, he said, to build according to pattern, those who build for God listen to every detail for building. And mommy made mention of Noah and Moses. And that was in Genesis chapter 6, verse 20, when he instructed Noah during the ark. We all know the story of the ark. And he said he should take the animals in twos to preserve them. And, you know, they came into the ark, and the animals were preserved. It is still for the purpose of continuity, so that we can still continue. He preserved a generation to still continue. So he said that even at that, God is still very much interested. So, and he gave a pattern. And that was, and to every building, to every height, the width, the length of all the ark that Noah built, God gave him that template and he followed through. And that was why when the flood came, the ark was able to stand. So if we bring it down to the home as couples, God is also interested in our building, how we build our home, how we command ourselves in the home. You know, God wants to give us instruction. If only we are patient and we are willing to listen and obey, he's still so much interested in how we build our home, how we raise our children. And I remember mommy was saying we must raise children that even at very young age, the Holy Spirit can actually fellowship with them. So I said, every room needs the input of God personally. And we must do the background work for God to be able to be involved in the building of our home and our children. And I remember this can also boil down to the life of communion, that the Morning Dew series that we just finished before we started the Way of Discipleship. You know, we cannot be built if we don't have a life of communion with the Lord. It is not a thing that jumps on us. We just have to give ourselves to that building. And I remembered Mommy, just like Brother Tosner said, that Mommy really made so much example, says a lot of things about even how the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, how milk can actually help us, even at that level, to build a relationship, to build communion with the Lord. Because if we don't have a personal relationship with the Lord, and you just want to jump into marriage, you know, Daddy used to say that you've not been hearing God before marriage. It is now when you are at that junction of making a choice or making a decision that you now felt that, oh, it is this brother. You can never get it right at that point. Because before then, you've not been able to exercise yourself to the hearing or picking instruction from the Holy Ghost. And even Mommy made mention that even the doctrine of milk should able to help us finalize that area, even not even faith of the Son or the doctrine of Christ, even in the Holy Ghost at milk. Mommy made mention of after 2 years, she was already hearing from the Holy Ghost. She could easily discern what the Lord wants her to do. And that was why the Lord showed her so much mercy. When the suitors were coming, and Mommy said naturally herself, she was naturally drawn to medical doctors, and she felt that especially if you are a doctor, you already have a 50% pass for her. But even at that, the Lord still had mercy on her, because she was able to yield, she was able to listen and discern the thoughts of the Holy Ghost. Now when the Lord would say, this one, our hand is not there. This one, it is not us. We don't understand this one. Though she felt bad, she felt bitter, but no, she didn't hold on to it and say, no, it is a medical doctor, I must do it. It is a medical doctor, I must do that. And that was why Mommy said that we must not allow our emotions to go ahead of our leading. Because if we allow emotions to go ahead of leading, we will be disappointed. It is not in every situation you have all the, okay, you know, sometimes when you are raising kids, you just maybe a year old or two, a toddler, you just want them to get away with some things. But you know, when they are becoming 4 or 5, they are becoming aware. You don't allow them get away with every wrong thing they do. You have to start instilling correction in them. So such way too, maybe when at this point of marriage, it's very important that our emotions, Mommy said something that your emotion is going like this. You are now calling your emotions to come back, because you are still here. It's because when your emotion is going ahead of you, there is nothing anybody can say to you. You might not see wisdom in it. And that is why Mommy said that God is interested in the place of our choice, that a good home starts from the place of choice, that it is very important for us that it is at that junction that you are making a decision, let me say an eternal decision. Because if you fail to get it right at that point, it actually might affect the whole of your journey, except you are able to find grace. And it is not everybody that finds that grace. It is not everybody that the Lord will show that kind of mercy. So, and Mommy said, perhaps, no, Mommy said something that our fathers in the past that got married, some of them were not even Christians, but the Lord helped them. But not now that we are not hearing this kind of doctrine. We are not in that generation again. We are in another dispensation. So if we are still saying, Olo Ashan, when you are hearing teachings that is going helping you, that can help you to make the right choice, and you are feeling that maybe they are delaying us or something, you know, it will not be a good decision for us. So Mommy said that a good home starts from the place of choice, and God is interested in who we marry. And Mommy also still made emphasis on the drinking of milk should still be able to open our ears and settle that area of our life. It is not rocket science, just like Mommy used to say. Drinking of milk should be able to help us sort out brothers. Just like Mommy used to say that You should be able to sort out sisters. You should be able to sort out brothers. So that's why I said that the meeting was not just for married alone. Singles were able to benefit even from that, except you want to deny the power of that ministry. We are actually, even singles, we are actually blessed. So say God wants us to raise supernatural children. And I remember that this shouted it beneath the message that ghosted children. And you know, to raise ghosted children, you yourself as a parent, you must first be built. Because you must be ghosted for the Lord too. Because if you are not built, there is no transfer of virtue. You know, we're saying discipleship. When we're saying discipleship, you know, it is you transferring, emptying what you have into another vessel. So if you don't have substances, there is nothing you will be able to transfer. Because you are, thank you, sir, you are actually very much empty. So it's like you're pouring an half bottle of water into another big bottle. Some will even spill. Some, you know, it is just as if you don't have anything. You are still transferring half life of that thing you have into another vessel. So that, no, when you look at the contemporary world, this day, you know, and the fact that some parents could not do that, entertainment industry is helping them to pour that vessel into their children. And we see a lot of errors, we see a lot of anomalies amidst teenagers, children of these days. I pray the Lord will help us. So as a parent, you yourself must first be built so that you can pour out virtues into your children. So you must not allow, okay, I already said that. He said that there is a kind of leading that will make us to inherit Christ. Whatever God do with our leadings, let me just explain this. We must see our marriages as a means of salvation for us. So whatever the Lord, whatever you are going through in your marriage, whatever it is the Lord, the area the Lord is, the paths the Lord is giving you to go through, we should always see it as salvation for us. We shouldn't see it as, oh, what have I gotten myself into? We should see it as God trying to save us, even from our own self. So God wants us to love one another. And I remember Mommy mentioned romance in the family. Said we must know the reason why we are in a marriage, which is very important. We must know the mandate, because it's like you running without a template. If two people are coming together to build a home for the Lord, you must know why the Lord is bringing the two of you together. So from the beginning of you are planning for your marriage, and after, it's not even maybe 2-3 years after the wedding or the marriage, we think this is what the Lord wants us to, we think this is what the Lord wants, the mind of the Lord for this marriage. It's from the beginning you must know the foundation of why the Lord has brought the two of us together. Why are we husband and wife? And husband and wife should now start preparing and looking for how they can now find expression in that thing that the Lord has called them into. And so I want to move to the wife now. Maybe my husband will talk about our husband. So he said, a wise woman builds her home, and a wise woman is a Christ-filled woman. And with that, we can also see that in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. So a wise woman builds her home. And how do you build? Just like I said, it still takes us back to how you have been able to have a relationship with the Lord. Because if you don't have relationship with the Lord, that you are not going to be able to build anything. And I remember Mommy said that we should not be a woman that has short fuse. That any little thing, it explode, it blow. You know, you are, thank you, sir. Mommy said China fuse. Mommy says China fuse. So, anyways, I think there was a day I was looking at somebody using one hair dryer. I don't want to mention the name of the brand now. And before, the person was trying to dry her hair. And before you know it, pak, 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 pak. So, you know, the person, you know, so it was like, if you're that kind of a woman that you don't have strength, you don't have capacity to hold things. You know, at everything your husband says, you just, hey, Shemini, how can you talk to me like that? You know, Mommy used to say that, hey, you are hot, baby, I'm very hot. Just because you feel your husband has said something and you felt so bad, you felt disrespected. How can you talk to me like that? I thought you said you love me. Yes, he loves you. But Mommy said marriage is two imperfect people coming together to become perfect. The man actually loves you, but probably he allowed anger to take over his emotions at that particular time. And he said something out of what he shouldn't have said.
But because of that, as a woman, you held it and you are running with it. You know, it is actually not a wise decision. That is not you building. That is not you building your home. So mommy gave a lot of points. I would just highlight them. Mommy said, I take it virtues for living in their home. And mommy made mention of long suffering. And mommy said, even when you are exercising that suffering, you still exercise it in kindness. And not because as I'm just enduring this, my husband, oh God, you can see that I'm trying to love this man. You know, that is not you showing kindness. That is not kindness. When you say you are enduring your husband and every day you are still saying, God, hey, then woman, you know, the man is doing something, you don't appreciate him, you don't, that love, that, mommy say that love that he's doing giz-giz. No, that giz-giz is not there again. You are just like two persons living together in the home and no romance, no life in the home. You know, it is probably the two parties that are not working together to actually bring out the mandate and the will of God for that home. So mommy said that even in that, we must learn how to show kindness. Even it's just like maybe when you say I'm enduring Irene, can I be enduring Irene? So because I'm enduring Irene, I did not give her food, or maybe I was supposed to give her. I said, today, because you did something today, you are not eating egg. That is very foolish of me. And mommy says something that some women, because of that, they will not give their husband food because their husband has done something. Maybe the man did not drop enough money. You understand? So it's that money, that worth of that money that you dropped, that is what I'm going to buy. Even when you have your own money, you say, no, this one is my own money. Mommy said, fine, they were not running the joint. They have a family account. She has a personal account. Daddy has his own personal account. But even that account, she's still the one running it. It's maybe probably they want to make a decision in the house that Daddy will probably ask, how much do you really have there? What can we do? So, you know, when we are saying that we are enduring ourselves, we should still do it in kindness. So mommy mentioned forbearance. So we can also look at forbearance and long-suffering, that we should also, as long as you are long-suffering, forbearance, I think the two can go together. Because when you are actually forbearing the person, endurance, you are trying. And when we are doing that, actually, we should do that in faith, that this, my husband, will change. Because we cannot keep saying we are enduring and enduring and enduring. And I remember mommy said something that a woman, that if you have married an ungodly man, that the woman without the word, but with a conversation, can help, you know, to save the man. That should be the kind of woman we are. You should not be like, me, I have known the Lord. We are going to stand separately on the judgment day. You cannot fulfill that thing that the Lord has created, proposed for the two of you, if the two of you are not working together.
Amen.
So you must.
Please, let's appreciate her. Sister Fire came prepared for. I was just stealing it to her notes. Let me tell you, let me give you a glimpse. She listened to the message, typed out a summary, gave categories, bolded some places, itemized it. She came to deliver it in a didactic fashion for us. Please, let's appreciate her. Thank you so much. Thank you. You know, really, if we had time, I would have loved you to just... But let your husband, let's trust God too. Thank you so much, Ma. God bless you. Thank you. Rokile, please help us.
Praise the Lord. So, maybe next time we're having a review, we should not make it a joint review. Because she said she wants to compare notes. Now, everything is there. So, I don't know. I was just canceling some things and anyway, there's no crime in repeating what she has said. So maybe I'll put some scriptures to read. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. One of the things about the Christian faith is that for us to truly know the whole essence of the Christian life, we have to always go back to the beginning. And that was why when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, he was saying that in the beginning it was not so. So when you say man is a living soul, there are so many things so many expressions that you don't see in the man. And unfortunately, because we have not been able to see a man in the physical that is currently in the state of the living soul, we have no idea what Adam and Eve will have been. So, and that is where the challenge is. No, you know, in the beginning, the criteria for marriage is the living soul. But for us now, we can say the criteria for marriage in the Christian way is sincere meek. And when you talk about people who have sincere meek, we are talking about child. So we begin marriage as a child. And then the Lord begin to work in us until some things are done. He says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed to his nostril and the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So a man that is not a living soul does not have the breath of God. It means that even in the marriage that man is running, that marriage is not with the fullness of the breath of God. And that is why we see a lot of things that are expression that we shouldn't be seeing. So I said that God wanted to fill the... Okay. So the reason for marriage is to build people up. So if God made man, and then after, and it was, and God said, okay, it's not good for man to be alone. Let me make an help meet for him. It shows that the original expression of life for the creation called man should be in two. Otherwise, God will have left Adam to name this, name that, and then let's just Adam live like that. But for continuity's sake, because it was God who blessed Adam and said that he should increase, you know, he should be fruitful and increase. So for that increase to be able to finalize, to materialize, God had to bring the womb man, called the woman. So for us as believers, marriage is also the ground for fruitfulness. Marriage is one of the ground for fruitfulness. It's also one of the ground for righteousness or for continuity of life. So in building the home, we have to listen to God in very detail. You know, God said about Abraham that I know Abraham will command his household. That command his household, we just like maybe telling the household what to do. But to command the household, it means that because we know the life of Abraham, it means that command that Abraham was actually giving to his household is the command he got from God. Their commandment, he got what? He got from God. So as a believer, when you are not submitted to authority, like the authority of a local church, you do not know the right commandment to give your home. There's no way when you are a man. That is why when you are a man, you are not serious with not just coming to church, because there's a religious aspect or religious expression of being a man or coming to church. Then there is a life expression of that thing. How you know that you are a man under the authority of the church or the local assembly is doing what is being said. It's not about coming out or say it's been doing what is being said, but that is a part of the commandment. So when your life is devoid of things that is being said in the church, then there's no way you can command your household in the right way. And most of the times, as believers, we sit on the fence. The reason why so many things are not going the way they should, including the issue of finance that we just talked about, is that we sit on the fence. When it comes to, for example, when Irene was small, and then something happened, and maybe she was sick, and then someone called us and said we should be wearing white clothes and everything. Of course, to the person, it's just giving advice. But maybe the person said that, I know in my heart that once you begin to do this, you have opened door to some. It doesn't look as just like it's not white clothes, you know, just an advice, but you have opened door to a spirit. And why was I able to know that? I didn't even have to tell daddy. I didn't even have to know, because I knew. Because when I was growing up, my dad told me something. He said, my sister was sick to the point of death. And grandma said, you know, this child has, is this summer, you know, in those days, I said, you just make a temple and everything. My dad said that he told her that if the child dies, I should die. And when I heard that, I just, this man is, what do you mean? But at that point, I knew that if I should act into that thing, I would have opened door to demons. And then when you talk about faith of preserving a child when a child is sick, you will have not used the faith of Christ to preserve that child. You will have used that faith that was taught you in the mean, and that is the same thing in application. When a man has a, when the man is the home, when we talk about the issue of finance, when it comes about the issue of taking care of the same, when it comes about the issue of authority, when it's about everything, once you are sitting on the fence, by the time the issue comes, prayer comes, you find that we go to Goshen. You go to Goshen to go and pray, because actually Goshen, like Daddy was saying, Goshen is like in Egypt, but not really Egypt. But it is the test of the wilderness that actually show if Israel was really ready to be of. Let me just go back to the call. So there are tools to build a home. When you talk about building the home, for every building, I know a lot of us, some of us are architects. A building has a plan. And the foundation of that plan, the foundation of every home must be Christ. That is why, as a believer, you cannot say, even if you don't know the doctrine of Mingo doctrine as we are talking about, but you are a believer, please, sir, please, ma, don't marry an unbeliever. The reason why you should not marry an unbeliever is not because the unbeliever is a bad person, doesn't have a good character, is because when someone believes in God, there is a hope for change. When a man does not believe in God, or his spirit is not, is a spirit, is a man whose spirit is quickened that has the hope for change. A man who has a dead spirit, you can, does not have the hope of change. It doesn't matter if a believer is tongue-talking, spirit feel or something like that, but has anger issue. There's a hope that it can change. It does not matter if the believer is tongue-talking but can still scam the brethren. There's a hope that it can change by subjecting his own. But when you see someone you meet in the club or you meet on the street or you are going on the street and you see the guy has character, has behavior, is good and everything, you are actually giving yourself, but you say you should not be on equal yoke with unbelievers. Because you'll be yoked with that person forever in your life. So, when it comes to building the home, she has talked about, mentioned some things. The other thing I want to mention is charity. When you look at charity, charity is a lifestyle. It's not that I have charity. It's not a confession. That we say, charity is a lifestyle, it's a state. And charity usually is not expression, is not an emotional feeling. Because for those who are feeling, I mean, before I got married, when I see my wife's bonbon and everything is about to be shaking. But you know, after a few days when you marry, things will start changing. Maybe the first time you want her to do something and she didn't do it, your eyes go just clear. And then for guys that feel that, let me just eat Indomie when I get married, food will be available at all the time. Brothers, it's not like that. There are times that you also have to cook yourself. There are times that you have to do things yourself. You have to wash clothes yourself. Even when you have children, all this baby crying, all these lady babies crying around you that you feel frustrated. My brother, you have to also go to. So if charity is lacking, those things will be difficult for you to do. My wife will say that Irene prefers to stay with me because while she was young, I don't have issues staying. Of course, it was frustrating. There was a time she was crying. Where I went to pick her and she was crying that hot water poured on my hand. I was like, what do you want? I was so frustrated that day. And my wife was with her spies and everything. So it is the basis of the life of charity that makes those things easier. And you cannot do those things. If the foundation of your marriage is only based on romance, you are going to get in serious trouble. Both emotional trouble, both physical trouble, even spiritual trouble. That will get into a lot of troubles. So, knowing that your partner is not perfect. When you talk about perfection, perfection is also a state. And that state finds expression in a life. You cannot say you are perfect by doing things in the physical. First, perfection is first in the soul. And it's first in the soul. It's now what is happening within you that finds expression in what you have in the physical. So that is why you know that as a man, you are not perfect. And you are marrying, you are not perfect. You're also marrying someone who is not perfect. And there's no commending actions that you can do that brings perfection. It is God and obedience that brings perfection. I was saying that I used to joke with my friends and when I was growing up that when I was young that my daddy wanted to beat me to perfection. Because that was how he knew how to make a child perfect. So small thing like this. I was like, so it was when I grew up that I began to understand that perfection actually is a process. There are things that your wife may not really know when you get married or maybe do when you get married. In the process of the marriage, she will start doing those things. At times, it's not even necessary because you spoke about them. It's because God gave her sight. That's why it's important to marry a believer. Because when you marry a believer, God is able to speak to them, just like God spoke to Mommy Ellen, that this person, even though you like her, you like him, is not the right person for you to marry. That the person is shallow. You cannot know a shallow brother by carrying mic, by carrying speaker. You know a shallow brother, a shallow sister by lifestyle. You know by character. You know by the tenets of faith that has been said. So, also, don't kill your spouse with words. Personally, I had to learn that. Because, you know, my nature is that when you, Isaiah knows now that I when he gives me, I was like, guy, you know, I am not the president that will say, go and do this, go and do that, go and do this. I just want you to watch some of the things I do. Because when you watch me, you look at it and everything. Be observant. So the idea I will bounce on, you'll be like, so you have to be observant. So what am I trying to say? We should not kill our spouse with our words or our action. There are things that, Reverend Bisi said something, even before I go on, I was saying that in some marriages, I didn't know that this is what is actually happening. The woman has withdrawn to herself because the man, and the man does not really know. Reverend Bisi says, engage your wife. When your wife is saying, when you ask her, how was that day? And then she said that she's fine. Probe further. When she's silent and she does not respond, probe further. Why you need to probe further is that that thing that she's keeping, if she consistently keep those things, that words that you keep saying, you don't know how to do things, you know how to do this, or you speak to your husband rashly, hey, uncle, you even put love. Love. You are not serious. Love. You are lazy. Love. You are doing this. You are doing this. You see, those things, if you keep saying those things, you are going to be begin to touch some things in nature of that person. For example, now, if your wife, if your husband is not really welding, you know, and he's trusting God, he reads the Bible and everything. I'm not saying being lazy anyway. But if you keep attacking him from that point of, what are you doing? This is a big money. Is that what everything? If you keep attacking, once the guy gets angry, he may swear in his life that he's going to get rich. And he will not care that he works in love. He doesn't care about anything that you eat on it, but he wants to get rich. So those are the ways words frames people. So we must be careful of the words that we say to our spouse. It says that strong, but that I try to connect the thoughts together. When Daddy was rounding up the message, he said, submission to local authority, strong couples make strong churches. It means that as a secretary church, if we want to be a strong church, by strong church, I'm not talking about maybe we have influence. You know, you can be a strong church in the physical. You have influence in the physical, meaning that when Sinkes has a program, the whole of Ibadan has it. The whole of Ibadan has it. But even Lagos, you know that Pastor Dimitri is in Ibadan, but Dimitri is Lagos. But we may not really be a strong church. What makes a strong church is strong couples. Why? Because the couples are able to live examples. The brethren living in their house are able to emulate examples. They're able to see examples from daddy. I tell you, I say something. If I do something, if daddy hear that Caleb did something, how would daddy feel? So usually I adjust myself. And then I'll be like, if my wife is doing something, I was like, she will say that. If mommy hears that, if I did something, mom will say. So that is what makes a strong churches. Then I think I've talked about expressions of men. Is that civilization? Oh,
it's random.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we give you thanks, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to build ark as homes.
I want to build homes even as Ark. I want homes, family to be an Ark. I want families to be Ark. I want families to be refuge. Oh, refuge. I want families to be a place of refuge. I want families to be a place of protection, a covering, a covering. I want Ark, 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 a fortress, a strong, a bulwark, Ark, that can stand as a standard against the flood. Flood is coming. Flood in your days. Flood that has never been seen before. Flood that you have no idea of. Flood, flood, wicked flood from the pit of hell. But I want to raise standards against it. I want to raise standards as homes. Homes, homes, homes are my secure places in the future where I can keep the children, where I can keep the younger ones, where I can protect the younger ones who has not come into stature yet. Give me homes. Give me homes. Ark. I'm bringing the tools that you will use to build the ark. I'm bringing the woods that you will use to make the ark. Build it according to standard. Build your homes according to the instructions of doctrine. Because flood is building up. Flood. It was not a mistake that male and female enter the ark. I want homes to be ark. I want male, female to become ark as homes, saith the Lord.
Okay. So just in rounding up, I'm just going to talk about in relationship to husband's intelligence and wife's intelligence, especially getting advice from the woman. So as a man, you must be able to discern the wisdom that God has placed in your wife. For example, at times, if you are a man and you don't believe, you know, traditions has raised us to be that we are man. And then if a family is raising children, and then they have maybe a boy, and the other guys and the other children are girls, you discover that if care is not taken, if they are not wise, they will make the boy, even if he's the last born, they make him feel as if he's the head of the other children. And so when he grows up and has and is married, he feels as if listening to woman does not make sense. But I believe as a believer, we must be able to discern, as a man, you must be able to discern if it's the voice of wisdom that is speaking through your wife. And as a woman, you must be able to discern if it's the voice of wisdom that is speaking through your wife. At times, of course, there are issues of emotion because of the nature that women are made. But at the same time, as a man, you must be able to discern. If you don't do that, you run into troubles. The last thing I also want to mention is the aspect of the angels coming to the home. I feel that as believers, at times, we don't pay attention to the visitation of angels to the home. The reason is because we are too focused on the externalities managing the home. For me personally, how I know that angel visits the home is that there are things that you teach. If you are a couple here, and the things you teach in your devotion, the things you talk during the conversation at home are not the things that daddy speak about in the church, you need to check yourself. Because the angels, Bible says that, and to the angel of the church in so right. When the angel of the church in City Gate, I mean, this may be a personal opinion, but anyway, when the angel of the church in City Gate that is walking with daddy and mommy, walking with the associate pastor, it's the same angels that visits home. And so when you have a revelation, a civilization that is outside, because it says civilization breaks things up, revelation builds things up. So when you have a civilization, by civilization I'm talking about traditions, cultures, beliefs of men that is against the tenets of what is being taught, there's no way you can build a home. Because you are, maybe daddy comes, we come to church on Sunday, Daddy builds the home up. When you get to the home, because you are leaving something, I'm not talking about I'm submitted to daddy. I'm not talking about speech. I'm talking about lifestyle. Mine is mainly concerned about lifestyle. Like when daddy talked about giving, when daddy talked about fellowship with the brethren, when talking about, what is it called, offenses, handling offenses, all those things, bitterness or forgiveness, all those things. You have to be practicing those things in the house so that the angel of the Lord can come visit you, teach you, tell you instructions, not just for the home, but also instructions for the church and in relationship. Relationship with your wife, relationship with the brethren is all encompassing. Like I said earlier, that we must not be people that sit on the fence when it comes to the aspect of our Christian life. Thank you, sir.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's appreciate them as they go to their seats. Let's appreciate them. Thank you so much for the review. I'm sure that the words that have come thus far has blessed our hearts. Mommy Helen really made very strong emphasis on working in the supernatural. And that trickled down to every area of our lives, in our natural, of course, in the spirit. Couples and singles made mention of how she, by leading of the spirit, she was able to identify the house she, you know, where she lived. And then made emphasis on the fact that if we don't yield fully to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the evil of the times may just overtake us. Lord, will help us in Jesus' name. Yes.
Listeners, thank you for bringing back to our memory those things that have once been shared amidst us. I just want to encourage us that for not just only couples, but because I know that Pastor Emmanuel was talking to us the other time and asking that how many people have listened to that message about finances and all that. And I know that quite a number of people are yet to actually listen to it. I just want to encourage us, admonish us that we should take time to listen to that message. I remember Pastor telling me that God actually instructed him to take that message, you know, as an instruction to push the church to create that a mindset that could position us for the things that God had in store for us in terms of our finances, for families. And I remember that time, it was not even everybody that came for that meeting. So I know it's a long message. I would advise that you could listen to it in bits, maybe 1 hour. You can finish it in 1 week. You listen to it every day, 1 hour every day. And within 5 days, you can actually, so if you do 1 hour, you take note of what you learned the first day. Second day, you do another 1 hour. And if it is 30 minutes or 40 minutes that you have, you can actually finish it within 2 weeks. But sincerely, for every person, I think we actually need to listen to that message. As in, it will give you, if you listen with an open eye, it will give you a radical change. It will make you see God's intention concerning, you know, let me tell you something. Satan can actually limit us in that area. You will be, so to say, spiritual, whatever. You will say you are growing spiritually, but, you know, because of maybe a wrong mindset, because of the way you view things, you know, Satan can actually, and Satan likes doing that a lot. He likes taking advantage of, you know, our, what I call blind spots. You know, so that message was really something God sent, you know, to position us so that we can actually be prepared to receive the things that God... I can't say that we really took a good advantage of that message. I can't say that message has really accomplished the reason why God sent it. Because I can't, you know, but I think it's, you know, just like that tongue came, I think it's something that we need to repent, and actually every single person, you know, take time. You can do it as your devotion. You can decide to, you know, to review it even in the home until it becomes, you know, our mindset. I pray the Lord will help us. So I'm really very expectant about family life summit. God has been speaking to me about Family Life. No, Family Life Summit comes every year. It's Family Life Summit, but this particular one, I believe it's a very unique one. You know, the Lord has been deliberately nudging my heart and preparing my heart to be prepared for what He has in store for us in Family Life Summit. And I want every one of us to be in same state, looking forward to the things that the Lord really have in store for us in this season. And my prayer is that the Lord will bless us mightily in this meeting. I can't hear your amen. Amen. You know, there are so many things. Even for the singles, I want you to know that there are many things. You see, it's hunger that brings things, you know. As you are hungry, you know, hungry for God to speak to us, there are things specific that the Lord will bring clarity, God laying solid foundations for us. You know, some of the mistakes that some of us made when we first got married, you shouldn't start and be making those kind of mistakes. Really, you should, like Pastor will say, you should start hitting the ground running, you know. That's what it is. So I've been really blessed this meeting. And I really want to say something. I know that it looked very funny. Don't mind Gillian the way she was talking. When she was like, "Kilo de walati poju," you know. But really, I actually want to talk about the issue of wastage, really. Because many times some of the things that sometimes, you know, they look very not really particular, but some of the things that makes heaven's shot, you know, over us, that gives the enemy advantage over us, you know. It's just like an accusation of the enemy. You know, he's the accuser of the brethren. So God doesn't believe in wastage. You will see, even when Jesus did miracle and he fed, all the two instances that he did that miracle, you see that every leftover was what? Gathered. There was never a waste. So it must be an attitude that you must have. You must have, you know, if you are close to me, you see that sometimes I'm also very, the way I take, when people are wasting things, it should be as if maybe this woman is just wicked, just like problem. I know actually what it means. When you are wasteful, I tell you, somewhere along the line, very soon, you are going to suffer. Sincerely, I know. You know, I used to make jest. At some time in my house, people used to waste beans. As we used to, I know, that thing is practical. Before I knew what it meant spiritually, I heard my mommy say it over and over and over again growing up. She said, "You cannot say if anything you waste. Say sometimes along the line in the future, that thing you are going to lack that thing, and you will cry for that." And she used to say, so she would say, "It was always, if any food is left over like this," she would say, "Pour food away." Say, lie. Say, "If it happens, the day will come that you will lack food, and you will be looking for food like this." Say either intentionally or unintentionally. That you must know. So I grew up, you know, like, and actually, anywhere, there was a time I used to waste beans. People did not like beans. And we will pour, people will pour beans. You know, beans was very cheap. Yeah. It was cheaper than, how many of you know? Beans was cheaper than rice. And it was really, and you know, people used to waste beans. A time now came, beans became expensive. Or more beans showed the people in my house shaking. It's the truth. I'm telling you, it will gulp a whole lot of money. Even the beans itself, when they are sharing it, it will be so small. I said, the same thing with yam. You know, people would not want to eat yam, they waste them. The time came that yam. No, it was not because it was intentional. Things just, you know, the way everything just had, we had to reduce size of the way we cut yam. We had to economize it. So I'm not saying that. So you must have as a person. It's the same thing also. If you are someone that is wasteful, once money comes into your hands like this, it is shawarma. You are already thinking of shawarma, thinking of Coke, thinking of all this Coke and biscuits. Any small money you have like this, with the Coke, with the black nylon, at the biscuits, with the Loru. I'm telling you, all those little, you know, it looks very small, but you know, many times those things are. You see, you must see that everything that God brings across your way, everything that God gives you, you must be very gentle. You must see that you don't weigh. You don't, how do I put it, you will give account of it. you must be good stewards. Yes, that is the word. So, you see, that thing, even though she said it, you know, by saying, I know she had some spice, her own spice. But, you know, but the truth is that that thing is really very... So, as family people, even as singles, you know, there was a time I saw somebody left a whole shoe in church, inside that ring, slip on shoe, and they are selling for 15,000 right now. And up to now, we don't know the person. The person is there. He's just wasting it. I just went there, so I said, this person. The time you come, this person. He's not, I'm not cursing the person, no. The time for you that you waste, you a whole shoe, you did not, you misplaced it, and you did not even, you understand, look back, and you are looking for him, and we've been asking for who owns that shoe, and the shoe has been there. I said, this person does not know. The time we come, you might need shoe, and it will not come. I'm telling you, it's just like, so I just want us to, I want all of us to be very careful. Because some of us, we experience very tight seasons at times. Because, you know, just coming to, and it's not because it's doctrine that is dealing with you. You are the one that opened, what they call it, you opened gate for the enemy. So those should not be wasteful. We should manage resources very well. As make sure that things don't spoil. You're looking at everything. Make sure that things that God gives you, even your clothes. You know, today some of us do clothes like disposable things. A time will come if you are like that. A time, it might not be now, but a time will come. Sometimes we just come. We need the clothes. You will need clothes for something. I just see that there are no resources. There is no grace. You know, that thing just, what that thing does is that it shuts down grace. So I just want all of us to take it very seriously so that we don't put ourselves into unnecessary, unnecessary tight corner. Now, some of us are very wasteful. The way we do things, you take pure water. Those of you that use pure water in your house, you have half sachets, plenty. Ha. Don't they look very soft? I'm telling you some of the wastages that we do. Half. You know, I was still telling somebody, even the way we peel our yam. No, some of you are peeling yam. You don't peel yam, you cut yam. You know, there's a difference between peeling yam and cutting yam. Peeling, you are removing the back. Some of you, when you are peeling yam, you are cutting yam. If you see the thing you remove, I say, especially when you are growing up, if my daddy sees you peeling, you peel yam, and then there's a lot of yam on the thing, he will tell you to sit down with what you have removed, that you should scrape all the yam on it and cook it and eat. Because you cannot afford to waste it. So some of us, even when we cook our yam, we don't peel yam. We cut yam. We just cut it, you know. No, it's easier. When you are peeling, it takes more attention and it takes more detail. But if it is cutting, just cut it round. Just shape it and all that. So I pray the Lord would help us. You know, so that all the resources, so that, you know, these are some of the attitudes we must have. I believe that if Jesus was not like that, you know, they would have said it's just a miracle. At least, was it not a miracle? You know that they did not even use their money to buy those things. You know, let's say they bought those bread and fishes, you know, you might be paying them in the pocket. It was free. It was just plenty there. So there was a tendency when something is free and it is plenty, the normal nature. So you see that Jesus was a disciplined and spiritual person. So that even though those things, it came free, it was multiplication. It was not as if they used their money to buy it. It was not as if it was there. So it is very easy to not account for those things. You see that they still gather. See, say they gather up the fragment. They not say they've gathered the pieces. Fragments means tiny, 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 tiny little things. You know, some of the food you pour away, then you are cooking soup, then you pour the soup, then the pot, there is still some there. You just wash it up. Say fragments. Said, gather up the fragments. So you see that it don't say gather up the pieces. What did they say? Fragments. You know, fragment is a fragment of a piece. Yes. So fragment means the little wastages. You see, as we have that attitude, then God can actually put resources in us. Not only such that it doesn't matter. I have money. I can do many on this thing. No, you need to be frugal. Say frugal. We need to be frugal with our resources. Every resources that God gives into you, into your hands. Or else, a time will come. If you're not like that, a time is coming very soon. That you just find out that there is, you want to do certain things, and there is what? No grace. You just find that there's no grace. That you just now have to struggle and struggle and struggle. I pray the Lord would help us. Yeah.
We hope you have been blessed through these words of life. You can get more messages on our website, www.thecitygatechurch.org. Stay blessed.